This is the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's broken on the internet and why. I'm Mike Hicks, Principal Solutions Analyst here at ThousandEyes, and I'm joined by Chris Villame, Technical Marketing Engineer at ThousandEyes. Morning, Chris. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. How's Perth looking today?
It's not too bad at all, mate. Not too bad. Sun's up. Everything's good in the world. We've got quite a lot to unpack in this episode. There's been four outages last week that we want to talk around. WhatsApp, Zscaler, Salesforce, and Facebook, all impacting different services, all really sort of looking at the applications area, but all with a common theme. So let's get started on those.
Yeah, so let's. I'll go ahead and share my screen. We'll go through a chronological order of these, and they all hit at the tail end of the month. So the end of October had a bit of a rough ending. So let me go ahead and share.
Perfect time.
All right, so we'll start with the WhatsApp outage. So this was kind of an interesting one. It was, number one, it was a very widespread impact for users. And essentially what users were running into with this one is largely a connection timeout. So, you know, you'd fire up your app and it would just kind of spin and be unable to connect. Now, ThousandEyes was able to catch this pretty readily with, you can see here, we've got a test going to TCP port 5222, which is one of the control protocols used by the WhatsApp service. And so in monitoring the availability of this service, we can kind of gauge the, you know, the health of that application. So yep. If we want to take a look here, I believe this started just before 4 a.m. Eastern time, if I recall here. And we can see we're already getting into the midst of it here. So yep. One thing to note is that this wasn't a problem with the path between us and WhatsApp destination. It was clean all the way. You can see here as we look through, take a look at the various transit providers and paths, we're not encountering any undue latency or loss. And in fact, we don't really hit any problems until we're, essentially at the front door of this service. Now,
right.
What I would say with this one is it was definitely intermittent. So it was not down for everyone all the time, but intermittently it was impacting a user's ability to access this service.
So if you go back to that, the top timeline there, we can see the nature of it being intermittent there, where we see the loss rates coming in and out from there. So when you're saying it's intermittent, we're saying it was impacted globally, but it impacted the application intermittently, or was it impacting intermittent users around the world, if that makes any sense?
Well, it seemed to kind of impact locations intermittently. So for example, if we just pull out Lisbon just to take a look at how this one performed here, I can kind of cycle through time and you see at the next testing interval we're getting all the way to this that service without problems. And so you can kind of jump along here. And it looks like Lisbon is good. So we had an impact for that one at one point, and then it cleared up. And of course, you can look at the same thing with this location in France and so forth. It seemed to kind of bounce around a little bit from a user perspective.
Got it. But the pattern was always the same in terms of we saw it. It was always got to the front door. And it went there. So yeah, okay, interesting.
Yeah, and it actually was a fairly decent length. We didn't actually get a disclosure from the company as to what actually triggered this, but it did last approximately 2 hours, I think, of off and on user impact globally.
Got it. Frustration.
That's yeah. Awesome. Probably a little bit of frustration. I mean, it's a consumer service, but it's nevertheless a very popular service, right? I mean, we have even people that utilize this in their own kind of side businesses for communication with customers and so forth. So it's something that is noticed by community when it's not responding, as was the case here. So
I think just before we actually to go on to the next one is the other thing to note here is we you mentioned it was sort of 10 to 4 a.m. Eastern, so early in the morning.
Right.
But the global impact, because this was a global impact, then the other side of the world it was impacting sort of, it was impacting people like me in the future. So it was impacting sort of time coming across from there. So we have a global app impacting sort of people there. So even if there'd been something done within the application itself, deliberately out of hours, we may have actually seen that sort of flow down effect coming into the other side, other time zones, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah, and we can see even in the state where it's impacting reachability of that service. Again, just to note, we don't have latency or loss, you know, in that path between us, you know, our vantage points and that destination. So it's it did appear to be on the back end service that ultimately brought this down and took it down for a couple hours.
Okay, very good. So let's move on to Zscaler.
Yeah, let's jump onto that one. There was a few interesting ones in the month of October, but this one was interesting as well. So Zscaler, you know, of course, it's a popular security service, and essentially what happened here is as we understand from status updates from Zscaler, you know, there was some type of a maintenance event, and it affected ultimately affected the reachability of those VIPs, the virtual IPs. Deployed to the proxy devices. So you've got your customers of this service. They send traffic. You know, it's essentially in the data path, right? So they send traffic through these proxies to secure that traffic, whether it be going to SaaS services or web browsing or whatever the activity on the internet. It would proxy through one of these gateways, one of these Zscaler gateways. And so the way it manifested in terms of ThousandEyes revealing this problem is we've got some tests here, just testing at a network level test to that VIP, to that virtual IP of the proxy device. Just, hey, are you there? Are you responding? Are you responding? Are you responding? And we can see almost like a light switch here. I'll kind of jump forward in time here and across the board. None of these locations are we're dead in the water. We're not able to reach that final proxy virtual IP. And again, of course, looking at this one, we can see here that there's we have really good, exceptionally good latency. We don't have a problem with a packet loss between a source and destination. It's just quite simply the reachability of that IP address, to which customers would need to send their traffic was just not responsive.
But that's in this type of environment, that's normal as well. Yeah, as in not the proxy IP disappearing, but if that happened, it's not sort of unique to this service. If the proxy disappears from an IP perspective, because of its design, that happens. It's just you've got nowhere to go. It's not like a routing protocol where there's some automatic divergence that could take place and we could go somewhere else. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's it exactly. I mean, as I understand, just from seeing some of the chatter, I think what some of the workarounds would have been is, if a customer realized, hey, this proxy I'm using at this location, it's not responsive, or my road warriors that are attaching to this proxy or attempting to, it's not responsive. They could have pulled up the other proxy VIPs and pointed their customers or their traffic at alternative proxies that weren't impacted by this problem. I believe this only impacted, if I recall, their second cloud, or what they call Cloud 2.
Cloud 2. Yep. Correct.
So I believe they have at least three clouds that I'm aware of. So this would have impacted one of those clouds for this particular security service.
Very good.
So what we can see, and I'd say the bulk of the impact was in the first 30 minutes or so. And then presumably some corrective action was taken, and we do see a noticeable improvement here. I'll just kind of jump along to the, we get past the worst of it. And you can see here, once we get out of the, this would have began, I think, about 11:52 or so UTC time. And, by about, jump up to about here, and you can see we're already in a much better scenario. We're able to reach these VIPs. we're no longer seeing the issue. There was a little bit of scattered impact that actually lasted almost 3 hours from start to finish, but the vast majority of users were able to start, you know, attaching again to these proxies, you know, probably after the first hour or so.
From there. So 7:46 a.m., I think, Eastern is when we sort of first saw it from that perspective. What I really like about this is you say that recovery process. I like if you look at that step coming down there, sort of how quick it was actually recovered there.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, it was like a light switch going off, right? I mean, this jumped up to immediately 100% because essentially I'm not able to reach that IP address. It'd be like having a router with a loopback interface that you just shut down and you can no longer reach that loopback interface over layer three. And that's basically what happened. And then, you know, probably the, you know, if I had to speculate, just the process of kind of restoring and remediating the problem, you know, it just took a little bit of time to kind of clear everything out. And hence we do have some of the, you know, the scattered, you know, problems with you know, packet loss and reachability of these, like, you know, even here in the Northern Territory, Australia, like, you know, quite a ways into it, where it started to work for a lot of folk, it's, you know, we're still seeing an issue with this particular path reaching that proxy. So it's it took a little bit of time, I think, to fully, you know, work out of this scenario that you know, I believe again, this was something that you know, indications were that it was a result of some type of maintenance activity, if I understand from one of their statuses. So. You know, again, it's, and in fact, that's kind of a common theme, I think, for these outages. Now, just to note, we don't know what caused the WhatsApp, but, you know, with these other ones, you'll see the common theme of maintenance or configuration related, you know, kind of triggered events, which is, you know, not an uncommon way to trigger an outage, unfortunately. So let's jump over now to Salesforce. So, you know, again, this one, this happened, I think, thankfully for, you know, the North America, it triggered at, I believe, 1:30 a.m. Eastern time.
1:30 a.m., correct.
So this would have been largely, in terms of business impact, it, you know, would have been, Asia, Europe, and the other half of the world would have felt this, you know, more severely, just because it was in the middle of the, you know, business night for North America. So with this one, again, this one was, it was noted, they had a Salesforce actually had a really good RCA that they published that, you know, it makes an interesting read, but it was essentially a configuration issue that triggered. And one thing that was particularly interesting about this one is they, you know, Salesforce noted in their RCA that it was actually a change that had been put in place back in April, but it was a misconfiguration, inadvertently a misconfiguration, and it was just something that wouldn't have revealed itself until that piece of software went through its next upgrade. So they had some type of a you know, software upgrade. It may have even, you know, felt like it was a pretty routine thing to do, and then this misconfiguration that was kind of lurking there, unknown since you know, last April, revealed itself and caused quite a bit of havoc. You know, I will say that, you know, they seem to jump on it and rectify this you know, pretty quickly. Yeah. You know, given the widespread impact, but
I like that point. And if you just go up to that timeline at the top there, and I think in that root cause analysis they put out there, they talk about taking mitigating actions around there at a certain time. And if you go back to the timeline, we can actually, we really start to see that sort of. And I think it's around that 3:35 point of view. So we have the turrets coming across there. And then when it starts to step down, if you sort of come across to that point there, this is the point here around there when they actually start to make the restarts, essentially, as they put it in the applications here, and we really see the services start to return and start to improve. So again, this is they've identified the issue that was going on and started to take action to rectify that coming there. And as we saw in Zscaler, as the outage starts to clear, it comes down quite dramatically, and it comes down in a nice stepped process.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's a good point you bring up, because this the impact users would have felt with this one was kind of a wide range thing. This was really it caused a lot of very degraded performance, right? So it's Essentially, you know, if you look through the RCA, they talked about encountering some CPU race conditions and some things like that on the back end application infrastructure, you know, ultimately triggered by the software misconfiguration. So it was just making things, you start running high CPU and you have some services that start dropping offline. It would have caused kind of a degraded performance and maybe some application churn for users of that service. And of course, once they start rebooting the application tiers in the affected instances, it things came back very, very quickly after that. So it was something that was, the old reboot to make it better. I mean, this one actually was a legitimate use of that action, and it did seem to bring it back up pretty quickly. So as opposed to something like making the service not reachable, it was really just that the backend application infrastructure, went into a frenzy, if I could just put it that way, and caused obviously some performance issues for users attempting to use that service. So,
and again, just parts of service, the content would have been missing. It would have been you've come to the wrong place. Whatever message is coming up from there on the screen, so.
Yeah, and one thing. I really liked the write up, by the way. But they had a few things that they pointed out of, hey, here's some improvements. And what I thought was interesting is this gaps in monitoring, because this is something that we all can say this probably after every event. We always have this one, right? No matter who is impacted, the team will sit around and talk about gaps in visibility. And they have this really, I think, a noteworthy sentence here is that they, a gap in monitoring was observed in the deployment process of the change. So again, it's that, how do we make safer changes? How do we, know that when I push this, big red button that things are going to, work well afterwards, or if they're not, that I would know about it, right? So again, it's that, that same thing of get a snapshot of performance of all the pieces before and after the change and including those service dependencies and everything involved, right? And if you have that complete before and after picture, you can have more confidence. But it's something that we always run into. I mean, myself as well. So it's I thought that was an interesting point from them.
It is. I like the thought of a big red button there that you press across there. But you're absolutely right. Nothing, no change is done in isolation. You every time you're making a change or making some sort of maintenance update, there are so many different components to consider in that overall chain that you don't have any visibility or necessary control over.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We're no longer dealing with app architectures that are just like storage, network, compute, and database, right? I mean, it's you've got third party services that you use as dependencies. You've got cloud services. I mean, and you've got all the, microservices that stitch together and then all the other things of just dealing with internet and DNS and BGP and all these, kind of operational protocols that put it all together. It's kind of quite a range of things that can go wrong, so it really needs that comprehensive visibility. Let's jump over to the last one. So again, not to pick on Meta again, but in addition to WhatsApp, they had an issue with Facebook briefly, and this was kind of a strange one in terms of just some of the errors we saw. So this and even from the user perspective, this was a little bit of a strange behavior. For some people, it worked fine. This one started at, I think it was right about 1930 or so UTC. Yeah, like, about 2:30 or so Eastern time. So I think from a user perspective, again, people had a kind of a range of problems. They were countering content wasn't displaying. They couldn't connect, would receive various types of errors and trying to connect to the website, or they couldn't authenticate. There's kind of a range of experiences people ran into. And even looking at our Thousand Eyes test here, so this is just a test, to Facebook's website, and we can see right on, spot on, right when it starts, right? If I jump back before the outage, everything is flatlined at 100% availability. And of course, if we scroll down here, we're getting healthy 200 OKs to those HTTP sessions. So as soon as the problem begins, Number one, again, and this would have been not impacting everyone at all times. This is another one of those where there were some kind of ranges of impacts for different locations. You know, we see these kind of, these errors, which you know, there can be a lot of things that trigger this error, but ultimately there's some kind of a problem with the backend service. The one thing that this tells us, though, is the fact that I get an HTTP error is that I'm able to reach their front door, right? So this is, again, yep. one of, like the other three, this wasn't an issue. We'll jump down here just to show, but this wasn't an issue with the, you know, end-to-end path. Let's try to make this a little... Well, this is kind of a complicated set of paths. So let's just select one of these agents here and, you know, make this a little more simple. So again, you know, this is...
That in itself though, Chris, so that in itself actually shows the complexity we've got here. So if all those paths, everything coming across on there, so it's all these things. So it's no wonder that some people are having impacts to others, but the point if you made there is the path itself is all good coming right through there. So
yeah, and even here, I mean, we're you know, there's several nodes. Once we're within Facebook's environment, you know, and then once we start seeing, you know, the problem, we can jump up a little bit. Let's just jump into, you know, the heart of it here. Well, actually, this one wasn't having an issue at the time.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and select Edmonton, Canada, just to make this a little easier because there's quite a large number of agents here. So, okay, so in this particular case here, you know, again, you can see we're getting all the way to, you know, Facebook's front door. So this kind of backs up, again, the fact that we were getting HTTP errors, you know, from Facebook side of the infrastructure. So that, again, this isn't something that happened between, you know, source and Facebook across the internet. It wasn't, you know, a problem with, you know, CDN and these sorts of things. It seemed to be within Facebook's environment. And again, like the other previous two mentioned, this was a maintenance or configuration trigger thing. And in fact, I think they referred to it as just a configuration change was noted as the trigger of this. And, you know, once that configuration change was rolled back, you know, we start seeing that problem clear up, and I think it lasted about what was this one about maybe an hour, you know, a little over
I think this was just under an hour, about 45 minutes.
Just under an hour. That's right. So you know, once they remediated the, you know, the configuration, the misconfiguration, it seemed to kind of you know, clear up for everyone. What was kind of interesting about this one is again just how it seemed to kind of move around geography. You know, at first, you know, we had the thought that, oh, maybe this is just impacting you know, just locations in Europe. But then, you know, it actually turned out to be global and wasn't hitting everyone at all times, but it was, you know, hitting even North America. Was impacted. You know, we can look at here and just take an overview. Just go to table view here. And so you can see even in the middle of this impact, you know, we've got good responses for a lot of locations. So it's, you know, again, this is one of those intermittent sorts of impacts, ultimately a result of something on back end. And it can be deceptive because, again, like I said, we had that connectivity to the front door and you know, can make it a little difficult to understand then what's actually happening. You know, if I'm able to get to Facebook environment, why do I still have this problem? So
this problem. And just to be clear, that loss rate you're seeing there, that's at the edge server. So that's within, you said, mentioned within Facebook's network itself.
Yes.
So that's within there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the other symptoms. I mean, and it, like I said, there was kind of a range of these behaviors. I mean, some client attempts would get these HTTP errors. You know, some would connect and you would just fail authentication, and others, you know, we start seeing loss at one of their kind of their edge gateways. So it was, again, we don't know the details of what that configuration change was, but, you know, it was some change that they, you know, thankfully caught pretty quickly and were able to rectify. But
that's good. So the common theme you said running through all of these has been this some sort of configuration maintenance type of work there. As we stress, we don't know what caused the WhatsApp one. but just the what we're looking at from the pattern. It was certainly something within the back end. So it's certainly something within the application itself at that point, or the services that maintain that back end type of thing there. And I think you mentioned this up front there as well. You know, we all have these issues in terms of when we make a change, we have this potential to sort of do this impact around from there. So the key to this then is to sort of getting that visibility right across. Yeah, you mentioned snapshots, but yeah, I'm a very simple person. A picture paints 1,000 words. If I can see what the picture looks like beforehand and see where the picture's broken afterwards, it's very easy to identify. But at the same time, you've got to be able to see that entire service delivery. You've got to see everything that's going on the outside. You mentioned the dependencies around from there. We saw the complicated map that came up in one instance there. Yeah, you've got to be able to have that visibility across there.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I mean, right, I mean, no, anytime you touch a device, I mean, it's seemingly anytime you look at a device, you might risk something. I mean, I can remember like 20 years ago, we'd have these routers that someone would point out, check the uptime and say, oh, wow, this router's been running, our switch has been running in this closet without a reboot for 7 years. And it was like a source of pride. This is before all the security concerns that, you know, we wouldn't do this today, but you know, the fact is you have a switch that's been running for 7 years. Do I dare touch it? Do I dare reboot it? Just, you know, it's going along fine. And exactly. So there's that kind of idea that, you know, and hence the reason for so much process and talk in, you know, the IT industry about change management, but it's, you know, anytime, you know, you do something, there's that risk, right? It's a very complex set of dominoes that are all lined up and you knock one over, it can bring the whole chain down. But we can't move forward without constant change. I mean, there's no environment, no large environment out there that's not constantly doing change windows. It's just, you know, you just want to make sure you have the right process and the right visibility. But, you know, it's something we just have to live with and move forward. And, you know, every now and then we're going to get one of these cropping up. But, you know, we learn things from each of these. I think that's the valuable thing is every team. And I've been a lot of these calls myself is you learn something about, you know, each one of these and you improve. So it's
absolutely. And I think a key point you said there is these things are going to happen. You know, change is constant. I think sort of Chuck mentioned it at the Cisco Live in Vegas there. And it's always come there. The internet is dynamic. Everything comes around from there. But the other point to that is that change is constant. Everything is happening there. These will occur, but you need to identify them as quickly as you can because you roll back. We saw in a couple of those instances there, the problem was identified and they rolled back the configuration change. You might not necessarily always be able to fix it, but you can roll back to a previous state that you knew worked and then sort of rectify the problem that way.
No, absolutely. Because you can build in all the redundancy, all the resiliency into your architecture and your network and your application, stacks. But at the end of the day, you're still going to encounter those possibility of misconfigurations and kind of these strange gray failures that can be, you know, very elusive, right? So again, it's just about having that comprehensive visibility before and after, and just knowing that, hey, you know, everything was green before, everything's green after. I have confidence in this change. We can close out the change window, you know, as a success versus, oh, wow, hey, the post change check is discovering something unusual. Then you roll that back, right? You know, if something, if you don't have that same snapshot and same, you know, performance after change, you roll that back. But it's...
Chris, it's been a pleasure as always, mate. It's I could talk to you for hours, but we probably have to go now at this point. So thanks again, and that's our show. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll send you a free T-shirt. If you do, just drop us a note to internetreport@thousandeyes.com with your address and T-shirt size, and we'll get it over to you. So again, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Been a pleasure.